The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Welcome in. It's Thursday. It's nearly the end of the week, and you are driving home with the Rush Hour. It's Wendell Saylor, Jude Bolton. Welcome to you, Jude.
Thanks, Maroon. Excited to be here. It's a massive day.
Massive day for sport. Big Dell.
I'm excited because I get to work with you guys this afternoon.
Right.
And then I go out to a core stadium.
Yeah.
And the mighty South Sydney Bunny Rabbitohs are playing the Panthers.
Look, only 21 premierships, but like, who's counting?
And I told you, mate, I'm on the Bunnies bandwagon now.
Yeah, good. You're welcome. You're always welcome.
Yeah.
Now, before we go any further, guys, on the subject of rugby league, it has been announced. Well, I'll leave it to Peter Volandis, the grand final.
So we wanted to give it to a city that needs a major football event. And that's why we've gone with Melbourne. Just kidding.
Yeah, so obviously the grand final is going to be in Sydney, Dell, and it was always going to be in Sydney.
Well, Peter Volandis, he's a smart operator. He knew exactly what he was doing. So he's getting them more money out of the government. Obviously, Queensland will buy anything up there, or the Queenslanders will. That's what we do. And, he was just too smart the way he did it. So, but I reckon it's in the right spot. As a kid, I said when I was growing up, the grand final was at the SCG or the SFS, and obviously ANZ Stadium, where obviously I won a couple out there or one out there. And, it's the right decision.
In the press conference, he did say that he's open to a Super Bowl-type feel where they can sell it to the highest bidder.
It's got to stay in Sydney.
Hey, it's in Sydney this year, which is awesome.
Would AFL, it's locked in for 30 years, isn't it, down at MCG?
Oh, but don't worry, the MCG would try and take it the week after or, on the Sunday.
NRL doesn't have to worry about the AFL does.
No, it doesn't. But mate, they set a pretty good standard, mate. That we could learn a lot from them.
You are driving home with the Rush Hour at Triple M, and being a Thursday, well, the NRL starts tonight.
Read about it.
Reedy's Mail.
Yes, Reedy, welcome to the Rush Hour. Let's start with this one. The grand final, it is confirmed, will be at a Core Stadium here in Sydney. I mean, really, was there ever any doubt?
Not really, Maroon. It's much ado about nothing in the end, wasn't it? Look, I feel sorry for, as a Queenslander like Dell, I feel sorry for the mighty Maroons and the fact that won't be played in Queensland this year, but I think it was always destined to head down this path. I think we've obviously held out hope for a while there as Queenslanders, but I don't think it was ever going to leave New South Wales this year. The interesting bit will be what happens next year. We go through it all again. Hopefully we won't write as many stories about it potentially happening one day and not unfolding, because it's just been a bit of a running joke, really. So hopefully they sort it out early next year and we don't have to go through a similar thing. But I don't mind the idea of a Super Bowl-like concept where it goes on the road.
I don't mind that idea either.
I think that's a great idea. And if they can't get the money out of the New South Wales government, that's exactly what they should do. Take the show on the road, baby.
Reedy, what about Parramatta? They've got a bit of a headache with their halves at the moment.
Yeah. It's interesting. Both Dylan Brown and Mitchell Moses have got player options in their existing deal, so which means that technically, come November 1, they can sign with other clubs for 2024. And I'm basically getting the indication that those guys have put off talks until after the season's over. And that obviously gives Parramatta a really small window to lock them down before November 1. And my gut feel is that both those guys will go to November 1. They'll go on the market. They'll see what sort of money they can attract for 2024. And Parramatta may have their hands full trying to keep both those guys. They're both obviously crucial to the club. And now Trent Barrett, obviously in the news, Trent Barrett's joined the club today. He's a former half himself. So you would have thought he'd be helpful to those two guys. But the key for Parramatta is to try and lock them down to long-term deals. I know that's something they want to do, particularly with Mitchell Moses. They want to tie him down. But as it stands right now, Mitch Moses will be on the market November 1.
Wow.
And I imagine he's going to have a handful of clubs coming in for him.
Geez, I thought Trent Barrett was going to the Dragons. That's what I heard. He was sort of in and around talks around the Dragons.
Yeah. Well, you're right. A lot of people heard that. And they thought that obviously Trent was going there. And, obviously Hook had spoken to him. Anthony Griffin had spoken to him. And I think they were optimistic they were going to get him. But they've come out today and Parramatta secured him. So it's a bit of a coup for Parramatta.
Hook's probably on the way out anyway.
Dell, you got some mail.
No, mate. The foreleg continues at Manly, mate. Come on, talk about that. After the Pride jersey, things haven't been the same since that debacle.
Well, I haven't been. I spoke to the players today, a handful of the players today about it, Dell. And they insist that, they've aired all their dirty laundry and there's no issues there anymore. That they've all moved on, but you know, I think we can all see that things aren't hunky-dory there at the moment. They're just not playing like a united team. And the other issue they got is the Manasi Fano situation, where obviously Manasi's been found guilty and he's going to jail. He'll face jail time. And some players, or Hamoa Olakau'atau, sort of paid homage almost to Manasi at the weekend. That was a real issue for the NRL and Manly. They've had to deal with that. They basically told the players, look, you can't do that. It's a nationally televised sport. You're on television. You can't be sort of paying tribute to a guy who's going to the big house, basically. Yeah. So, you know, that's another issue Manly got, because a lot of those players were really close to Manasi. And even though he's been facing trial for 2 years, he's been on that no-fault stand-down policy. He's been at training every day. I mean, he's been around the squad. He's been on a train and trial contract this year. And as I said, a lot of the guys are really feeling for him at the moment. They want to be able to show him for some form of support. But they're dealing with a situation where the NRL and the clubs basically said to them, guys, publicly, you can't do that. So, yeah, it's a really difficult time at Manly at the moment. Dez has got his hands full. You know, they're not winning footy games. And it's just a tense time at the club. You can just feel it. And they're playing like there's a lot of tension in the air.
And just lastly, really quickly, new deal for a South Sydney player. Who is it?
Yeah, Isaiah Tass has been a bit of a surprise packet this year. He signed a new 2-year deal with the Rabbitohs. So good news for Isaiah.
Yeah.
All right, mate, I'll be there in the chairman's club tonight. Oh. God love you.
Of course you will. Of course you will.
Rudy, you're doing a good job, mate. I said before, you're the best runner in the game, mate, and the most bloke with integrity. So well done, mate.
Oh, thanks, Dale. You're too kind, mate. Yeah.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M. Gus, Jude and Wendell. Only Gus is in New York City, so it's Maroon filling in. Yes.
Actually, can I say, Gus sent me a nice message this morning. You know, I was really happy for him. He's just checking in on me and that, you know. And and then he sends me a picture of him and Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
It was disgusting.
Sickening.
I threw up in my mouth.
All right. By the way, you two, our hypnotist joins us later on this hour, which we're looking forward to that.
You reckon he can help me?
Look,
we've got a laundry list of things he wants to help me.
Yeah, with you.
Bad habits. Let's cut them all out. Yeah. Look out.
I don't think we've got that much time, Jude.
All right, yeah, you two. Stop. Yeah.
What about this for a story? This is out of Ontario, Canada. A bee flew straight into the mouth of Ontario Premier Doug Ford as he was speaking at a news conference. The insect can be seen flying around Ford's face before it dives directly into his mouth. Now, just have a listen to the audio before we go any further with this.
But not coming from the government per se, but the premier. It's coming from the health sector.
Holy! Christ.
I just swallowed a bee.
Oh,
holy Christ! I knew that little bugger.
Oh. Yeah.
I wonder he didn't get stung in the throat or something.
Well, he tried to shrug off his moment with the insect. Later, laughing, man, he went right down the hatch. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've swallowed a fly, but
yeah, I've swallowed a fly.
Yeah, but a bee.
One of my mates was he was a beekeeper for a while, and so when he was learning how to do it all, they used to have these little setups for the hives and take them around and go and tend to them at different people's places and make sure they could just drain out the honey and all that sort of stuff. And he was up a ladder. And he didn't, like, smoke it out properly or whatever to clear them out so he could get in there and get the honey out. And suddenly the bees started stinging him, and he got stung a few times. Yeah. And he's at the top of a ladder, and his boy used to come along with him, and he's just yelling to him, like, go to the car, get like, I think he had some sort of antihistamines, but he could feel himself starting to go into an anaphylactic shock, swelling. And
like Will Smith and Hitch.
Yeah, exactly. He's blowing up.
Yeah.
But he was able to then get some sort of Zyrtec or Benadryl in just at the right time to then go and get an EpiPen, because that's not going to stop it if you're going into an anaphylactic reaction. Yeah. So super scary, like especially when you feel your face start to heat up and
bees are nasty. Bees will chase you, Del. Bees will chase you down.
I don't know. Yeah, them and wasp I don't like. I got stung by a wasp one day, but won't go into that. What we'll go into is when I was at school, I probably shouldn't say this story because it was about my uncle. Anyway, we got a call to say my uncle had been stung by a bee and he died.
You're joking.
No, he was allergic to a bee, I swear. Oh, no. Yeah, up in Serena. So he was only like 46, 47, so obviously my cousins were at school and they had to leave that day. But, yeah, so,
That's sad, isn't it?
I know, sorry, yeah.
Jeez, bloody hell.
Sorry about that. Sorry to bring the mood down.
Set the air out of the studio.
That's not like you, Del, to bring the mood down, is it? What about this? Why don't we do this, even though Del had a real nasty story.
Let's go on the back of that.
Yeah.
When bees attack, have you ever been attacked by a bee? done something stupid, a bee's bitten you. Let's get to some of these calls because they are great, Jude.
Absolutely. Let's go to Mark in Richmond. How are you, Mark?
Yeah, good. Thanks, mate. How are you?
When did bees attack or any of these insects? What happened?
Well, yeah, when I was a bit younger, mate, we went and hit golf balls up at the local high school, and I saw a bunch of wasps sitting on a fence, and I ran my golf club across that, and both my brothers were behind me. So, yeah, let's just say I wasn't in the good books, and I think I had more trouble sitting down than they did when I got home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Smackity smack. Mate, what about our man there, LB from Parramatta, mate? You must have a good story for us, buddy.
Yeah, so we're over in Fiji, me and my brother, and we're on the golf course playing a bit of golf, but mainly mucking around on the golf carts and that. Anyways, he ended up throwing his shoe at me. So I grab it, I throw it into this tree as high as I can. Then his shoe's about 5 metres up in the tree. Anyways, he decides to climb up and go get it. Climbs up, and then I just see him drop straight out of the tree from 5 metres, bang, straight onto his side. Not graceful at all. Oh. Gets up, hits the ball. He's running as quick as he can, and all I hear is, chasing after him. I was like a cloud of these Fijian bees, and these Fijian bees don't muck around either. Like, they're like the Samurai Raja of bees. No chance of getting out running. No chance of outrunning them. And when they hit, he knew about it.
Oh, that is a very
brilliant, Albie. Brilliant.
That's great.
Let's go to James in St. Andrew. How are you, James?
Good, mate. How are you?
Not too bad. When did bees attack?
Yeah, mate, so I'm driving along and I've got my sunroof open and my son's in the car. He's about 12 years old and we're driving along and a bee's come through the sunroof, straight down the back of his shirt, stung him on the back. And, like, I laughed my head off, mate. Like, I'm so insane. Sorry, boy, but, like, how unlucky is that? And, like, dead set, 2 weeks later, mate, driving along, bee in the sunroof, straight down my back.
Oh!
It's got me back. I'm trying to drive and get this bee out and it ended up stinging me too. And, so, yeah, and then he's laughing his head off at me.
Karma's a,
the old a bee, mate.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, though, when you see on the news or on some of those shows, someone's wearing a beard of bees or covered in bees.
They just walk out, exactly. Yeah. We'll go to Brendan. How are you, Brendan?
G'day.
Now wrap us up, mate? For us, mate. When did bees attack?
I was actually wasps. I took the dog for a walk. I sat at a park bench, and a swarm of wasps got me. The worst part about it is there was one wasp went down my pants and bit me between the arse cheeks.
Oh, wow.
On the butt crack. Oh, wow.
That's no good, mate. Yeah. I mean, because you wouldn't be able to shower or keep yourself, you know, clean. And
sounded like he was getting bitten then.
Didn't he? Sounded like he was bunging a voice on. Anyway, thanks for your calls there on when bees attack. Now, over the last few days, it all kicked off about Monday. Jude suggested that he would like to be hypnotised.
I did, and then suddenly we got thrust around and would you believe we've got an hypnotist in the room?
Yeah, this gentleman. Incredible. He is world-renowned, one of Australia's best hypnotists, and his name is Mark Stevens. Firstly, let's welcome him in, Mark.
How are you, Mark?
Mark, relax, Stevens. Thank you very much. Great to be here, guys. My middle name is Relax.
I need to see you, so yeah.
Yeah, you did ask us off air, Mark. You can help. And we've got a list of about 418 things with Wendell.
Oh, whatever, mate.
There are limitations, but I'm sure we can get some great results if Wendell's up for it.
No, not today.
Now, let's talk about you before we get on to hypnotising one of the guys. You've been since the age of 8, into meditation and learning Chinese tradition, learning from the Tibetan monks. That seems an odd direction to take for an 8-year-old, Mark.
It is. I went from cartoons, from the Flintstones, to Qigong breathing and meditation because I had chronic asthma as a young kid. And so around the age of 7 or 8, through the hospital, I took part in a yoga breathing and meditation course to help counter stress and to help counter the asthma attacks, and it worked a treat. And I was in hook, line and sinker, and through my teens learning with Tibetan monks, jiu-jitsu masters, training with Chinese, you know, Shaolin monks, the whole lot, and was immersed in it for decades and still doing it every day.
How many people do you reckon you've treated over the journey now?
There'd be thousands upon thousands. If you take into consideration our programs that we've had out there as well, helping people, tens of thousands.
And they come to you with smoking issues, drinking issues. What sort of stuff do you deal with?
Phobias, chronic pain, insomnia, weight loss. I helped one guy go down from 307 kilos down to 203 kilos. He lost over 200 kilos.
Wow, that's massive.
It's a record. Yeah. It's a record.
I suppose the question you get all the time, Mark, is can anybody be hypnotized?
Well, that's a great question because all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. So what it means, if a person's open to making those changes, they can be hypnotised. Some people, it takes a little bit longer because trance is getting a person into that relaxed state, and sometimes some people just need a little bit more time to open up to it.
Have you used your hypnotism for evil?
Well, I don't know if it's called evil, but evil maybe I hypnotise my wife to like me. Because I am batting way above my pay grade, let me tell you.
Oh, you're like maroon.
Have you worked with sporting clubs before as well?
The sporting clubs, yeah. I did a bit of work with the Sharks a number of years back when Ricky was coaching and they were on a long losing streak, and helped them turn that around by getting into the mindset, by visualising perfect tries, scoring goals, running faster, tackling and charging like a shark. I actually had them visualise that they were in the water and that there was this little rooster in the water flapping around the waves, and they all went in for the kill and thrashed it to pieces. The next day, the papers said, young shark feeding frenzy. Wow. You know, smashed the roosters 42-18. It was a classic.
All right, Mark, you're going to run us through a few exercises. What are we going to do?
We're going to learn a little bit about the power of imagination and the power of the mind. What I'd like you to do is, in your imagination, picture a large lemon tree with big yellow bubbly lemons all over it. Bring that picture to mind. Lots of green leaves, and you reach up and you take one of those lemons and you twist it off the branch. Imagine you feel the cool, bubbly texture. You take this lemon and you take it into a kitchen with a chopping board, and very carefully you get out a knife. You cut that lemon into wedges, into pieces, and you can smell the lemony smell, and you bring that lemon up to your mouth. And as you do, you start to suck on the lemon. You can taste that. Maybe you get that little bit of a lemony shiver. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Who's got more saliva in your mouth right now?
Definitely, Mark.
Oh. Yeah, but there was no lemon. That was your imagination. Mm. Wow. So there was no real lemon there, but in your mind you imagine the lemon, and the body can't tell the difference between a real experience and an imagined experience.
Oh, wow.
Amazing. All right, Mark, we'll just get you to hang on a sec there, and Jude, you get ready because you are about to be hypnotised. Now is the time. Don't try this at home. Mark Stevens, it's over to you.
You are enjoying this radio segment very much. You will not change the station or turn it down. This is very entertaining. Jude gets hypnotized on Triple M.
Yes, indeed. World-renowned hypnotist Mark Stevens joins us in the studio. Mark, here is the big question. Can you hypnotise Jude?
I can hypnotise Jude. This next section, what we're going to do, this next session, is what we call a post-hypnotic suggestion. You know how in life you hear certain things and it triggers you off to a certain state, an emotional state of being happy or sad or being excited. Yep. Or some people just, somebody says something in a certain tone and they like, rah, they have an outburst. And so what we're going to do here, those thoughts or ideas or subconscious triggers are almost covert. So you don't even know they're there in the unconscious mind. If you're happy to be part of this little experiment, do you go to the races ever?
Oh, yes.
You like the races? Okay.
I grew up near
a racetrack.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So what I'm thinking, and just for a bit of fun to give this a go and see how it goes, is that I hypnotize you into a deep trance. So when a certain thing happens after that, you'll react or respond a certain way. Does that sound good? However, let me tell you, here's my promise to you. It's only for a limited time. We're only going to, and then I remove the suggestion completely so that if you're walking down the street and this sound happens, you won't do the funny thing. And you're not going to dance like a chicken. You're not going to sing like Elvis. You won't be quacking like a duck. Oh. There'll be none of that. Oh, no quacking ducks. I'm sorry,
call,
Wendell.
Like Matt Hill or
Wendell's going, forget
Bruce
it. No
McAvoy.
Quacking ducks.
Yeah.
No Elvis singing. That's it. We're not doing it.
That's cool. No, I like this.
Okay, so what I'm thinking we could do is, seeing as how you like the races, is put a suggestion in when you hear a certain sound, your body, your mind will change to react a certain way. When you hear the sound done twice, it will switch it off. It'll be like a switch switches on a certain response and a switch turns off a certain response. Does it sound like, I know you're sort of going, what the hell is he talking about? I'm in the deep end here. Let's do it. All right. So, can I get you to sit on the chair? Sit on the chair to get really comfortable. What I'd like you to do is I want you to look at my hand for a moment, and as you look at my hand, just notice that your eyes are about to blink, and any second, even if you try to stop them blinking, they will blink. Notice how you can see Wendell out to the side. You can see other people out to the left, You can see everything in front of you, everything above you. And it's as if everything else just disappears. Any sounds around you, any other sounds of people breathing, movement in the room, everything fades into the background as you listen only to the sound of my voice. And I'd like you to let your mind drift back to maybe when you were a young guy, just maybe the first time you'd been to the races and you were listening to the races being called and you were thinking of that race voice and maybe you had even a little bit of fun mimicking or imitating the race caller and you did that with your mates and you called the race in that funny way. I want you to imagine there you are commentating the races. You've had to fill in, you're at the races maybe and they've said, oh, look, it's Jude. Jude, you've got a great radio voice. You've got a great announcer's voice. Can you come and announce this next race? And so you get up there in the box and you go, I'm going to do my best because I used to play with this when I was younger and have fun with it. And so you start reading the race. And when you hear the start of the race, that sound, it's as if you're into race calling mode. Nothing else matters. Nothing else exists except you calling the race with whatever the writing is, the reading is in front of you. And then when you hear the same sound, twice at the end, the race call is completely over and you just go back to thinking normal, talking normal. Is there anything that you do have to read out of the paper today? Is there anything that, you know, would you be reading something? Is there some sports things happening that you need to probably mention? What would be coming up? Oh, some rugby league happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so would you just start reading that how you'd normally read it? And
the confusion of the Knights was on full display in Peter Parr's press conference. Nothing's particularly that Parr said, and that only partly that he said nothing. The Knights went into considerable pain on Monday to release a statement that was inoffensive as possible, saying virtually nothing. While meantime, behind the scenes, they promised the Parr would emerge early on Tuesday for a West press conference that would be on club's line in the Lane Sand moment. He's going to be carrying the big stick. Apparently, a call to arms that current boys would do no longer be tolerated.
Tell me what's happening there. Is it almost like it's beyond your control? You can stop reading now. So I'm going to click my finger, stop reading. Tell me, how did that feel? Did it feel like you were almost taken over for a moment to explain what happened?
I just wanted to read it at a furious rate. I literally was like, but almost wanting to change the words that I was reading. Like,
that was amazing. You
know, on the outside, that sort of stuff. Like, I was just like,
is it draining, but?
I know.
You know like you're doing it.
Like I feel like a twit, and I know you're laughing, and so I'm like, "Say."
You know you're doing it, but it's as if you've lost the control over it, haven't you?
That was super weird.
That was amazing.
That's amazing.
Mark Stevens has been joining us today. He's a hypnotherapist and author of Mind Free, available at all good bookstores. We really enjoyed having you here, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
The book took 23 years to write, and there is a chapter on procrastination in there.
Good on you, mate. We'll have a read of it. Yeah, it's a big night of rugby league on Triple M. We're getting into NRL finals mode just about anyway. Rabbitohs and Penrith tonight. Dan will call that one for you. Right now it's the Rush Hour with Wendell, Jude and Maroon. And speaking of the NRL, a big fan, 92-year-old George McCracken, has sent some fan mail, if you like, mail anyway, to 27-year-old Cam Munster from the Melbourne Storm. But when I say mail, it's the old school...
Written letter.
Yeah, written letter. Here is what George wrote to Cameron Munster. And the letter just says Munster, no dear Cam.
Yeah.
Munster.
George has had a McCrack at Munster, don't worry about that.
He bloody oath he has. Firstly, let me say I am 92 and have watched football all my life. Once there playing for the Roosters, I called Soward, who tried for penalties, so I nicknamed him Milky.
Yeah.
Now you are just doing the same. You call for penalties every time one of your team's opponents are slow getting off. But when your side does the same, you think it's okay. Well, it's not. So, Milky, the ref is not conned by you. Regards, George.
Oh, George. George is
the original troll.
Yeah, George is before his time, mate.
Yeah. Isn't he great?
Oh, I loved it. But also, I loved that he mentioned Jamie Soward because Soward, he milked a penalty against the Bulldogs and we were gone in that game. We were gone and they scored on full time. And Soward backed in like he was a one-on-one basketball player and then fell over. And then got...
I love this, though. In true old-fashioned class, 92-year-old New South Welshman George McCracken has given... his return address, just in case Cam Munster would respond.
Yeah, that's lovely. Old school snail mail. Right now, Jude and Del, Airbnb to use anti-party technology to crack down on rowdy guests. We've all stayed in Airbnb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife, Christine, and I took the grandkids to an Airbnb on the Goldie. Just a great way to ruin a holiday. Have your holiday with your grandkids.
Oh, come on, mate. You're better than that.
Well, you're just looking after kids, dude.
You have kids to have grandkids.
Yes. Yeah,
that's true. You can spend a bit more time with them. Don't be that cranky old bloke.
Yeah. You're supposed to hand them back.
You're not a cranky old bloke, usually.
Well, you know, others would argue. Anyway, anti-party technology, which has been trialled in Australia, this is what it does. It looks for factors like history of positive reviews.
Yeah.
So we're talking anti-party technology. Length of time the guest has been on Airbnb. Length of the trip, like is the trip around the corner, you know? Distance to the listing, weekends versus weekdays to determine whether a particular booking was likely to be intended for hosting a party. Since they've been trialling this technology, incidents have dropped away a massive 35%.
Yeah.
So young groups, booking them, they live... If they've flown in, they know they're just going to go carnage. Is that what they're saying?
Just Burko on someone else's house.
Yeah, I understand that, but that's a risky take point, renting.
I just look at Wendell Saylor on the book and you go, no chance.
Don't worry, put another name. Well, I'll say you guys book it because once I go there, they know I'll tear it apart.
Yeah. But you would, I mean, in our day, certainly in my day, you know, your parents might have been away, dude, and you ruin your own house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can vividly remember walking in with the
ghetto blaster?
With the ghetto blaster and then a...
I remember
and the slab on the shoulder to mates' houses, and then their parents were pulling out as they were going. I thought you said they were leaving, so we're running up to the local park. But we had one where we literally drove before any Airbnb came around. We were going up to New Year's Eve up at Byron. Made the road trip. Two carloads have gone up there. Had nowhere to stay, so we're literally coming in on the 30th of December and going, let's find somewhere.
On the 30th of December,
walked
at
in
Byron.
I walked in, looking. Christine, trying to make sure walking to the real estate agent. I said, have you got any spare rentals for tomorrow? And the lady goes, you're crazy. Very lucky.
Oh.
You wouldn't believe there's one's just come onto the market, but it's a friend of mine. You cannot have any parties there. Mm. How many people are staying? And I said, it's just myself and my mate here. Like just the two of us. We've just fought. And she said, you've fallen on your feet and gave us the keys.
Wow.
And as we walked out, the two carloads of guys have gone, have we got a place, have we? And then sure enough, I lost the bond rental because the guys trashed it. And it was just...
What did they do? Break the...
There was... There was people. Hey. Well, no, nothing like that. But it was enough to... Like, she realised that I'd played up.
It was no good. You know what? It's a real...
The party got out of hand, let's just say.
It's a real Jude Bolton. It's a real host of the host, yeah.
What about you? You must have something, Del.
No, not really. Look, I don't mind. I didn't mind having a party back in the day. I did have one at the Dragons, a New Year's Eve party.
Yeah.
And there was Brett Morris, Jamie Soud, all these guys, Ben Craig, Matt Cooper and all that. It was like a Hawaiian theme. And then it got to about 1 or 2 o'clock, and you know where Market Street is in Lang Park there where the penthouses are?
Yeah, Wollongong.
We lived there. And I just, at 2:30, I said, that's enough. Next minute, Ben Cray gets on the table and starts dancing. Benny Cray of all people. Benny Cray is one of the most champion blokes. But then once he's got an alter ego, a bit like Darren Lockyer and the boys. So once he goes and he wouldn't get off the table, he'd go, no, I'm not going home. I'm not getting off the table. And it was unbelievable. It was a great night. We had fun.
Yeah. So Ben Cray's got one alter ego as opposed to you who has 10.
That's right. I do. So I don't apologise for that, mate.
When did the party get out of hand? And the phones went absolutely one level up from Burko. They went bunter. Anthony's in Camden. What happened?
Afternoon, gentlemen. How are we?
Good, Anthony.
And Wendell.
I like it. He's too good.
Yeah, regulation sort of party. All the boys on it, well and strong. Well, the young blokes goes, I'm going to let off some fireworks. What do you reckon about that? Yeah, let's go. All right. So safety first, garbage bin full of sand. Rocket in the sand, off she goes, bang, crash, beautiful colours in the sky. That was great. Forget about it. One of the boys' missus comes over to pick him up. Oh, by the way, boys, just let you know, the paddock over the road's on fire.
Ooh.
Yeah, right, eh? Yeah, you're full of blah, blah. Yep. Okay, so one of the boys is on the stick, his head out the front. Bugger me, the paddock over the road's on fire. All dry grass, mind you.
Mm.
So we run outside. One of the big lads grabs the hose off the front of the house, turns on the water, charges, hits the ball up hard, 5 metres out, the hose and the tap come straight off the wall. Oh. Water everywhere. Oh. Neighbour wakes up. We said fire extinguisher. He comes off the back fence, hard to hit the gutter, hard, extinguisher up in the air, foam everywhere, nothing on the fire.
So it's a blaze still. Oh, my God, how did you stop it?
Oh, over there and done the old bush down barn dance, mate, just stomped her all out.
Yeah, wow. I think the lesson to be learnt there, guys, is drink responsibly.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, mate, exactly. I can tell you that.
Right. Mm. I'm sure you can.
Yeah, Jack, come in there.
Hello, Jack. When did the party get out of hand?
Yeah, sorry. So it was my friend's birthday back in 2020. We were renting off a bloke who lived just outside of town. And it was like a 50-man house party. And one of the blokes decided he would grab a can of spray paint out of one of our work utes and spray paint, illicit images all over the neighbour's house. And just all over everything.
Oh,
and I'm freaking out. I've torn my shirt off. I've run, sprinted to the shed, gone and grabbed a can, like a jerry can of petrol. And I'm frantically just trying to rub it off the house and off of everything else. And what it actually did, instead of taking off the spray paint, it took off the paint off of the house.
Oh, my goodness.
Trying to do the right thing and get rid of the dick.
It's like a fitter.
Yeah, exactly. Except it was... It was directly on the side of the neighbour's house, and it was a lovely old couple that lived next door to where we were, and I just could not get it off, and I rubbed it. I took the actual paint off the wall and exposed just the raw, and oh my God, I didn't tell anyone about it, but when they found it, they weren't happy.
So they don't know you did it or your friend did it.
Oh, they do now. I told them before I moved out.
Just as you were leaving.
Oh, mate, good on you, Jack.
Fantastic work.
Hey, it's a good time to speak to the good doctor.
This next guest is Dr. Sam Hay. Yes, it's Dr. Sam Hay, correct. Oh, his last name is Hay, yeah. Dr. Sam Hay, and he's the doctor to the stars. He started his medical career with the Army and trained as a combat medical officer. He had 6 deployments, including to Afghanistan as a helicopter retrieval and coalition trauma doctor, so caring for injured soldiers. He's featured on shows such as SAS Australia and Embarrassing Bodies Down Under. Please cough deeply twice and once more for Dr. Sam Hay.
Hello, Dr. Sam.
G'day, team. How you going?
Well,
very well.
We know you've done all that cool and important stuff, but this, Dr. Sam, is male baldness cures.
Right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Right in my wheelhouse.
We stumbled upon some research about a treatment for hair loss, and it involves losing some fat from your gut at the same time. So, doctor, tell us more about this study. What happens? You take the fat out of your guts and inject it into your head? This cures baldness?
Yeah, look, there are lots of different reasons that why blokes and ladies lose their hair and end up being bald. And there have been probably hundreds of different remedies tried. Some of them work, most of them don't. But one of the new ones is harvesting fat cells. So we all know about liposuction, where you basically put a big sucker underneath the skin to remove someone's fat around their hips or tummy to reshape them. But those fat cells that you remove have actually got lots of growth factors, anti-inflammatory factors, and some stem cells in there. And there have been some small studies that if you go and inject it in under the skin of the scalp, that it can actually help with baldness and regenerating hair growth.
Now, Dr. Sam, is this something that you think could be successful, and is it available in Australia?
Look, I think it shows promise. I think there's probably a bit of a way to go. We already do a lot of what's called PRP, which is the plasma-enriched injections, where you take a sample of blood out of someone, you spin it down, you grab the plasma. Leo, there are sports people all over Australia that have probably had lots of PRP injections.
In my knee, I've had that. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that can be used for hair growth. But look, it's not a magic panacea, so I don't know that these fat injections are going to be the end game of hair loss. And so my advice would be to go and see a good dermatologist, and they can talk to you about it as an option.
hey, Dr. Sam, I'm one of those guys. I'm 48. I've got three kids and a granddaughter. I don't care about getting old, but I do miss my afro. So is there a chance, is there a chance that I could, like, regrow my afro? Because I do miss that afro. I really appreciate it now. I've got the Devon afro, so I don't really like that. Yep. So is there a chance that they could help fix me?
Oh, mate, with a noggin the size of yours, can you imagine how much fat they'd have to inject in there? So it'd probably end up four times the size before any hair would start growing.
Oh, that's all right. I need to get rid of the fat at the moment. It's it hasn't been my training season, so I'm happy. But is there an opportunity to do that or not?
Mate, I think you'd probably find the best you'd get would be sort of like a bit of a wimpy, sporadic one.
Okay.
Now, Dr. Sam, I mean, like you mentioned, it sort of takes some away, the fat away from someone's stomach. Can you take someone else's fat and then put it in your own scalp or not?
I love that as an idea. You'd need to match it all up for, you know, blood types and safety profiles. So I think you'd find it'd be a bit of a stretch, but theoretically you definitely could.
What about taking it from Big Del's buttock and putting it on his head?
Yeah, my big booty. Yeah, there's someone there.
He's got his bum cheeks are massive.
Yeah, but does anybody know how hairy they are? Because if his butt cheeks are massive and they're really hairy, maybe that would work.
It's not hairy. It's quite smooth, actually. So, yeah.
He rubs Vicks on it.
Bit of manscaping.
And pawpaw cream.
Now, Dr. Sam, people have been spruiking hair loss cures for centuries. What are some of the actual methods that work in your remit?
Yeah, so if people have got long hair, it's not pulling it back really tightly into man buns or into ponytails, because that will just put too much traction on the hair. Not playing around with it too much. Once again, too much traction. A lot of the time, it is a natural process. But speaking to your doctor about whether there might be another medical issue going on. So if he's got thyroid problems, sometimes iron issues or other vitamin issues can lead to some hair loss. Sometimes some particular skin conditions on the scalp. So popping in and seeing a dermatologist to have a look at that. And then there are some tablets and some medications that you can rub in that do work.
Thank you, Doc. I hope that helps somebody. We are getting you home on the Rush Hour here at Triple M, your home for the NRL Finals. Speaking NRL Finals, we better get stuck in a bit of this.
The Rush Hour's NRL Preview. Thanks to DoorDash, official delivery partner of the NRL.
Yeah, well, it's not finals time yet, but I look at May as well because a lot of the big teams play each other over the next few weeks. Tonight on Triple M, Jude and Del, it's a grand final replay. It's the Panthers versus the Rabbitohs. All right, Del, what do you see?
I see this is going to be one match that the Panthers need to bounce back from. Look, they don't need to bounce back like to win, but like after last week, Melbourne taking them to school there at their home ground. I mean, they haven't lost there too many times. I think they've lost there twice in the last couple of years. For me, South Sydney, they're warming up just nicely on the back of guys like Latrell Mitchell. We know their forward pack's doing a good job. But I tell you what I've been impressed with, Lachlan Ilias. Mate, since he got hooked against the Dragons and the coach, Demetrio, everyone said, oh, mate, you know, you probably ruined him and
shouldn't
that.
Shouldn't do that to a young kid and all
that
sort of stuff.
But he backed him. He knew that he'd bounce back. And I'm telling you now, he's playing great football. But even the Panthers, you know, they need their leaders. They need their leaders to stand up. And look, Dylan Edwards is back this week. They were missing him last week. Dylan Edwards is the ultimate professional. I know there's a lot of fullbacks that get wraps in the game and that. But this guy here, I think he's their gauge, along with Appy Corris here. For me, I can't see the Rabbitohs losing this. It's the Panthers have got to go all out here. But the Bunnies, they just seem really confident, like they can do a job there.
Yeah. Jamin Salmon, also Sean O'Sullivan. I mean, they're gettable at the moment, aren't they? If you're looking from South Sydney's angle.
Yeah, well they are because you know you lose guys like Cleary and obviously Luai, but these young guys can do a job because the players around them they've got a pretty fair side there. And don't forget, you can't win. You lost the grand final, but this has got a little bit of spice in it. This, you know, the Bunnies and the Panthers, and I'm looking forward to it. And it's going to be a cracking game.
Yeah, whatever happens, you'd think one of these teams is going to be in the grand final at Accor Stadium. Yeah. It will be in Sydney this year, Jude.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just on Latrell's form, like this man is just in staggering form. And what are you seeing from South Sydney and where can they finish up?
Well, I've got no doubt that, you know, they obviously finished top four, but also it's just what they do for the final series. With a guy like Latrell, he brings confidence, he brings energy. And, you know, and I think we saw him a couple weeks ago against the Warriors. What I love is he enjoys the fans as well. He's in a headspace now where he's enjoying his football. He understands what he's got to do and who he is. Last couple of years, he's been suspended, obviously, the Joe Manu thing. Then he was injured. But this is going to be his final series, and I think he'll kill it.
Okay, well, me and Dell are about to jump into the car, head out on Parramatta Road, out to Accor Stadium, and watch the Bunnies and the Panthers. Who are you tipping?
I'm going the Bunnies, mate. I've learned my lesson from last week, mate. I tipped Parramatta and they let me down
Touched up, 26-0.
What about you, Jude?
Yeah, I'm tipping the Bunnies just. I reckon there's going to be a response.
Where are you watching the game, Jude?
I'm watching it at the Oaks tonight.
Couple of beers.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.